listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Trubisky, it felt like it was that perspective. He gained an edge. They asked him who helped you, because you get benched. You know, you're in Chicago. You're in a big market town, and they love the Bears. They're dying for a quarterback, right? And he pointed to the people around him, his girlfriend Hillary, family, the siblings, his agent who he was really close with, his high school coach. He said, I asked myself, do you love what you do?
I love carpet.
And the good news for him was the answer was easy. I love football.
I love football. Yes.
Thankfully, you continue to play it through all this.
Brick, are you just looking at things in the office and saying that you love them?
I love lamp.
He said, I asked myself, do you love what you do?
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
And the good news for him was the answer was easy. I love football.
I love lamp. I love lamp.
I love lamp, too. I'm glad he loves football. I'm glad he loves the desk. I'm glad he loves carpet. I'm glad he loves the lamp. None of it really matters, though. He can't play. Neither can the other quarterback. It's a train wreck, folks. That this team was 5-1. I mean, can you believe this team was 5-1?
They were, Carm.
Worst 5-1 team ever in the history of the NFL.
And it's probably not even close. And, you know, Parcells is, I get what he said all those years ago. You know, you are what your record says. Yeah, in the big data samples, year to year, you're probably right. Every once in a while, though, an outlier, what we call an outlier in mathematics happens, Yurko, in a data sample. An outlier happens. And the 5-1 Bears were the outlier. They weren't what their record said they were. They're horse bleep. And they have been pretty much from the word go when they started the season in Detroit. And that's just a fact. They're awful.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad, and they've started to get bad, and I think there's some frustrations maybe brewing inside. There's, you know, guys that think they should be a lot better than they are, and they are what they are. They're not a good football team right now. And they got talented players, and they've got talented individuals. They just don't put it together as a team.
No, and apparently Matt Nagy is fired up on his morning Zoom call. We're going to turn some of that sound around, as we
and
say,
he,
in the biz.
JD tweeted out that he's not ready to name Mitch Trubisky as starting quarterback for the Lions, but it's leaning that way.
Okay, who cares?
It's about time, though. Last night he came out, and again, he was passive in his press conference. And look, he doesn't have any answers.
Of course not.
But he could also he was asked specifically about Tony Dungy saying that it looked like the defense was quitting on them.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even go there. And I'm not saying he had to necessarily co-sign that, but he could have at least put his defense on blast in a way that he didn't give them a pass. He completely said, I don't think they quit.
Can you really blast this defense, though, if you're Matt Nagy, with how awful he is handling his side of the – I mean, he is the head coach. I guess you're right, Jeff. I mean,
listen,
but
what
do you risk alienating the only thing that can keep you in games?
Okay, it didn't keep him in games last night.
No, I know,
but by and large, it's the one thing. He certainly has his own issues. Like, the game plan, like Yurko pointed out, the 57-yard run wasn't, you know, a great play call by any means. But at the same time,
it worked.
Yes, and so you know what? Maybe you exploit the defense that's out there, and you run the ball with Montgomery on the second drive. He did not get a carry.
No, he didn't get a carry
on the second drive after ripping off a 57-yard run. And then before you know it, because the Packers got the ball first, you blink, and it's 21-3 before Montgomery gets another opportunity to carry the ball.
You guys realize Montgomery and on some of this, it gets like when the game gets out of hand as quickly as it did, these numbers are always going to be skewed a little, right? But the running backs had 13 carries, guys. They carried the ball 13
and
times.
Did Matt Nagy think he was going to win a shootout with Aaron Rodgers yesterday?
That's what, I mean, you
that's
know,
on him. That's a bad, bad game plan.
Well, what the defensive touchdown, what did that make it? Did
20, that, make it 20, that made it 20,
27 to 3.
7, that's right.
20, yeah. No, 27 to 3.
27 to 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Once that happened, nobody in the city of Chicago had even a dream of a thought that they'd be able to come back, and they really didn't. It was 41-10. When they scored two garbage touchdowns when they were playing prevent defense.
Correct. Those touchdowns don't count. It was 41-10 after three quarters.
You know, they'll count at the end of the year. You'll look at it. You'll forget about it going into next year. But there's been a lot of garbage scored by this team this year when they pull off the dogs, and it's go ahead and do what you want, and if you score, big deal, as long as you take time off the clock.
The obsession with Cordarrelle Patterson as a running back is like it's been all year. I mean, and if you feel like your GM hasn't done a good enough job addressing that room, I mean, I kind of get it, but you still have guys that are running backs.
But again,
I mean, wasn't Pierce active? But I don't think Pierce was on the inactive list, was he? Or am I wrong about that? I don't think he was one of their inactives.
I believe you're correct.
I don't get any of it. I don't get anything that they're trying to accomplish offensively. I don't get any of it.
Again, by no means was I delusional and thought that they would win yesterday, but I think the game plan needs to be you need to quicken up the game. You need to run clock. You're up against Aaron Rodgers. You know you're at a disadvantage at Lambeau Field, and you've got Mitch Trubisky as your starting quarterback. You know what? When they get up 13-3, I don't know, instead of letting Mitch Trubisky throw a couple of incompletions and then running the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson on a sweep, Carm,
I mean, really,
I'm going to give it back to Montgomery and see what happens.
Just see. I mean, it's the truth.
Your second possession didn't come until the second quarter.
The Packers had the ball for 37 minutes, guys. Yeah. Almost 38. The Packers almost had the ball for 38 minutes.
Yeah. But your second possession didn't come until the second quarter. You had the one. Yeah. You scored three. Now you're down 13-3. You get a possession, and you end up giving it right back to him.
Here's Nagy this morning, York, during the Zoom. I guess he was a little fired up. Talks about personal pride here. This is just from within the last 20, 30 minutes.
Yesterday was flat-out embarrassing, our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. But we're gonna step up, and all coaches, all players, and we got 5 games left. So for us, it's our own personal challenge as to where we're at and how we're going to do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. And obviously that starts with me.
Very easy to say. Let's see what they actually do about it. He's been saying the same thing for weeks now. And again, I think he's out of answers, obviously. They'll probably win this weekend. They get a home game against the Lions team that stinks. Now, maybe the Lions get a pop from changing coaches. You know, we have seen that this year. We've seen it in the past. Maybe they play better with Patricia gone. But yeah, that's not a very good football team. Let's face it.
Daryl Bevel takes over.
Daryl Bevel takes over. They're an injured football team. I mean, Galladay's been in and out of the. Galladay's barely played. Really,
yeah, Galladay.
This year.
But Galladay has. You know, they're hoping that he comes back. If he's back, it's a different team.
Different team.
DeAndre Swift, you know, has had a concussion, but he has the extra couple of days. He's missed the last 2 weeks. So if they get Swift and or Galladay back,
a little better. I agree. It makes their offense better. They've looked really bad the last couple of weeks, obviously, and they got embarrassed at home on Thanksgiving, which has become a recurring theme here in the last decade or so for not only the Lions, but for Dallas, too, the two normal hosts, the Thanksgiving games. So, you know, they could win this weekend. Well, what difference is that going to make? I guess the only thing you say is I don't know what I want anymore even. I'm confused. Like, what are we cheering for here exactly? Are we cheering for 5-11 and maybe they somehow get a top 5 pick? What good is making the playoffs going to be for this team? Are you kidding?
Still in the playoff hunt.
Of course, the door's wide open. Zane Gonzalez misses a kick yesterday. The Cardinals lose. Tampa lost again. In the playoff hunt, it's wide open.
Of course.
And so, what are we cheering for here? Even this team in the playoffs is a joke.
They would get beat so badly in the playoffs that it wouldn't even be worth looking forward to.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are we supposed to be cheering for?
You're supposed to be cheering for your team to do the best it can with the cold realization that this team stinks. This team's offense is pathetic. If Akeem Hicks doesn't get back in there, you really don't have a fighting chance against much of anything. That's what you're looking at right now. So, yeah.
Mm.
5-11, having a top 5 pick would be nice, though. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, it'd be nice. And then you better let somebody else make the pick.
That's right.
You can't
have to make the pick.
You can't have Ryan Pace with another top 10 pick,
no,
right? I mean,
no.
Considering the way the first three went,
he'd trade up and he'd butcher it again.
Let's go to Elmhurst Steve on ESPN 1000. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, one of the things that I looked at before this game, I think you're like me. You probably haven't missed a Packers game all year. And, you know, when you watch them, you notice one thing that you can't escape anybody that watches them regularly. They can't stop the run. They're awful. They give up like 5 yards a carry to running backs. They're just awful stopping the run. Well, trying to stop the run, I should say. So you come into this game, you got a 2 week off to prepare for it. And you should say, okay, you know what? We don't want to give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers right away in any case. So let's use their weakness against them. And let's not give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers in that outstanding offense. Let's run the ball down their throats, exploit their weakness there, and maybe we'll get a couple breaks and we might have a chance in this game. But no, even though in the first possession they get a great run and you start thinking, oh man, okay, maybe they actually thought a little bit about this game before this game started and they realize, hey, running the ball, that might be a good idea. No. Then they go to the second possession and they forgot all about it.
Yeah.
And the third possession, they forgot all about it. So now, then they get behind in the game. And you hear announcers saying, well, you know, now it's a one-dimensional game. No, it's a one-dimensional game if you're stupid. Because, and Nagy said last year, I'll never forget this, oh, you know, I know we've got to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Well, as Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does, all right? And you've been pretty dang stupid. So I'm just going to call a spade, you're stupid. Because anybody that watches this Packer team knows they can't stop the run, and yet you're not running the ball except 13 times in the game. So you're stupid.
At 13 to 3, and Steve, thanks as always. And Mellor was making this point, you know, to not even give the ball to Montgomery. And that's the failings of this offense and the coordinating that's been going on, whether it's Nagy or Lazor. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. I mean, it is. And then to say that, well, we were okay with the interception there because we were taking a shot down the field. That pass had no chance of succeeding.
Zero.
I mean, zero.
The only guy it was intended for was Savage.
Was Savage.
He caught it.
It was a perfect pass to Darnell Savage, who plays for the other team.
Right in stride.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We were taking our shot there. I mean,
nobody throws the ball intentionally into double coverage with that tight of a coverage. When it's that tight of coverage, that's not something that you want to do.
That's not taking a shot.
You could anticipate, and the thing is, the receiver should have been breaking out wider to really get away from the safety. You know, once you went inside, then that's where you go ahead and you get width and, you know, the depth that you need to get out there. That ball thrown toward the middle of the field is not a good ball to begin with. That should be thrown out, making that safety come a little farther, and hopefully that distance you from the cornerback that's in coverage with you also. So,
Carm, yeah. You put it out on Twitter. Mitch dropped it right in the bucket for Darnell Savage.
Dropped
last
the dime to the opposing defensive back. I mean, it was like he was making a pass to the opposing team.
The one in triple coverage was fantastic.
Oh. Yeah, you want to hear Dungy on that one real quick? This was Dungy after that.
Yeah, I mean that's.
Oh, wait, one wrong one. Wrong. Where's my highlight? Hold on, I got the wrong thing. I'll find it, York. I'll play it when we come back. It was because he described it too, and I don't know that Dungy was buying Matt Nagy's excuse that we didn't have a problem with the first interception. We were taking a shot. That was no shot. You had no chance of succeeding on that pass. You didn't run the ball with David Montgomery once. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to any of this. And you've got a coach that's, I guess, so stuck in his ways and so obstinate that that's going to be his downfall. It's just he has not tailored this offense at all to what he does have. He's just trying to, I don't know what he thinks he's going to accomplish or what he's trying to do, but he doesn't have the personnel for it. He doesn't have the quarterback for it. And it's led to this debacle. That we have on our hands. I'll play you that Dungy highlight when we come back next. We'll take more of your calls, 312-332-3776. And there's more from Nagy and his Zoom today. We'll play some of that sound for you when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Like a cup of cocoa in front of the fireplace.
It's the 12 plays of Nagy. My head coach called for me.
Or maybe not. The Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest is back. The place where the calamity of Chicago sports year.
Once smitten, and now we cry.
ruined the beloved melodies of Christmas past. So get your poetic muscles flexing.
I need a rhyme for COVID.
Stay tuned for details coming soon on the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000. The Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest presented by Miller Lite and also sponsored by American Sale, Lou Malnati's Pizza, Chicagoland Toyota Dealers, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
The gyms may not be full, but there's definitely no shortage of madness this college basketball season. For us fans, the college basketball powers that be have gifted us with a top-tier matchup between two powerhouses this weekend. Gonzaga and Baylor will be going toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this clash of titans. Plus, you'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code WMVP. Download the top-rated DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook app now and use promo code WMVP when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's right, bet $1 to win $100 using promo code WMVP during sign-up to take advantage of these great offers. For a limited time only with DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook, you must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Deposit bonus is for new users only. Risk-free coverage paid out inside credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Matt Nagy told Catherine he wasn't upset with that earlier interception, but he's going to be upset with this one. Deep cross, and then he's going to have Allen Robinson on the deep in route. The in route is wide open. This is triple covered. The in route is wide open. That's going to pick up the first down. He's just got to read that out.
Is that a quarterback predetermining where he wants to go?
Trying to take a shot and not reading it out.
There was that Dungy son I was telling you about, good kid. Tirico and Dungy last night. The coach diagramming that. I mean, really, anybody could see that. I don't know where he thinks he's going with it. The ball was woefully underthrown, and he was throwing it in triple coverage. Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't really know what he's looking at. Waddle says it all the time. He doesn't know.
That's the important thing, and that's not saying that Nick Foles is better. When people criticize Mitch Trubisky, people out there go, whoa, you're supporting Nick Foles. No.
Foles stinks, too.
His criticism of Mitch Trubisky is solely for the criticism of Mitch Trubisky. Foles got his own issues.
Exactly.
Foles has got his own problems. That's another strike against Nagy. I think that's what people don't get.
Oh, I think you're 100%. This might make him look worse than anything else. This was his hand-picked guy.
Yes.
And the offense still stinks.
Mitch is a strike against Ryan Pace. Foles is a strike against Nagy. Yes. Two strikes against them all. There's no more strikes to be had. Hasta la bye-bye. Laca noche. Let's sweep them out and let's start anew.
Here was Nagy. He's a little feisty this morning on the Zoom call, and people wanted him to throw, not throw under the bus, I guess, just sort of call out the defense. He didn't really do it last night. He did it more today. This was Nagy when asked how the team can stay focused.
Right. And you know what that is, Hob, for me? That's staying in constant communication with my leaders. And I do that, you know, and they do that. And I got, you know, we have great leaders on this team. We really do. But now's the time for them to understand where we're at, and that you know, the lead-in is one thing in practice. The lead-in is one thing, you know, in meetings. But now it's about leading on the field and just letting it all loose and just whoever you are, win your one-on-one battle. And, you know, the preparation-wise during the week, coaches, you know, make sure that we're scheming the right way, that we're putting our guys in the best position possible. Is there going to be a bad call? Yeah. Is there going to be a good play by the other team? Yeah. But how do you recover from that? And so, I mean, let's face it. We've all been in sports our entire life, most of us, and we've all had some highs and lows. And right now is an extreme low. It's not fun at all. It stinks. But if you fight, if you care, If you have a little pride, if your DNA allows you to get a little pissed off and angry, and maybe then good things happen. But until you keep, it's like that insanity, until you keep doing this stuff over and over, you know. And so we got to collectively come together, which we're doing, but we got to do it on Sunday, Saturday, Thursday, whenever the heck the game is. That's when we got to do it. And it can't be talk. It can't be, you know, going through the motions throughout the week. We need to do it every single day in practice, every single day in the meeting. There's an obsession about it. You love what you do. You have a passion. Are you watching extra film, right? Are you getting your rest when you need to get rest? Are you getting the jugs after practice? Are you doing the extra work, or you just think you don't have to do that because, you know, we can just go play football? That's not the case. You know, are you studying? Are you watching your iPad? Are you asking coaches questions? Coaches, are you talking to your players? And figure it out. Don't sit here and talk about it. Are you doing that right now? Check yourself. And that's where there's some soul searching. I said last night, that's what the soul searching means. It doesn't mean point fingers. It doesn't mean blame. That's not what we do. That's not how we roll. But you better have some stinking fire, and you better have some care. And if you have that, I promise you, with the talent that we have, good things will happen. But you got to do it. And enough is enough. We all feel it. You guys feel it. We feel it. Trust me. But you got to do it.
Okay. Go do it. We've heard it all before.
It's uninspiring.
This is what is said when you've got a team that is spiraling out of control.
Whatever that is, and you got talent. You don't have talent at the quarterback position. The most important position on the field, you have no talent. Or the talent that you have is substandard compared to the average level in the NFL. Your guys are very below average at that talent level, and that's a problem. And that problem starts to become a big problem when you have a six-game lead. Is it a five or a six-game lead?
Five right now.
Gee, well, soon to be six the way they're playing.
Nah, luckily they've got Detroit.
They got to dig themselves out of a hole. I go, listen, Detroit had won a couple of games before they lost last week, right?
Or did the injuries have wrecked them offensively, but a lot of teams are dealing with that. The Lions are still the Lions. The Lions are extremely beatable. Look, the Bears are a favorite. They're about a 4.5 point favorite. I mean, the Bears haven't been a favorite like that, all year. This is only the second game they're favored in, actually, so far here in 2020. Let's say hi to Chicago Joe, who happens to be in Grand Rapids, but he's still Chicago Joe on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hi, fellas. When I look at the epitome of awesome franchises and how it should be run, I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and. I look at them and I'm thinking, why can't the Bears establish that model? They got the same ownership for 100 years, great fan base. But if you look at the Steelers, can you ever remember a Pittsburgh Steeler team and going, they've got no offensive line? They've had an offensive line my whole life. And the Bears, Ryan Pace has drafted two offensive linemen in 6 years. Two.
Well, and, two in the top, and like in the top three rounds, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, but you gotta do more than that in 6 years of draft. And another thing, and I'm gonna say it, and I've said this before to you guys, I'm gonna say it again. That move for Khalil Mack was a Bush League move. That was a Bush League move, in my opinion, because that you have no faith in your draft when you're giving two number one picks for one guy and making him the highest paid edge rusher, and it backfired. The Raiders totally won that trade.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look good. I don't disagree with that, Joe. And Mac's been good for the Bears. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Khalil's a very good player, but no, it doesn't look good. I mean, that deal was made under the assumption that you had the quarterback. So
you made that deal because Leonard Floyd turned into a bust.
Partially, yeah, I think you're right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd was a bust. You had to go get somebody that could rush the passer.
Right.
You hoped that Leonard, not being the primary pass rusher, was going to be able to flourish in that role.
And you felt like you had the quarterback.
Yes.
You know, you thought you were ready now with Nagy, hit the ground running with Mitch, all of that. Like, you figured we're good. We'll go ahead and we'll make this trade. It's always dangerous. We told you the day it happened, or the Monday when we got back, because that was a Saturday. It was a holiday weekend, actually, so it would have been the Tuesday we got back. We told you there is a little risk involved. That usually the trade never really favors the team acquiring the player. In the history of the NFL, it always favors the team acquiring the picks.
Right. Herschel Walker was a great player. But guess what? Dallas won that trade.
Without question.
Herschel Walker was still a great player. Just somebody decided to overpay for him.
Yeah.
Okay? And Ryan Pace has made more awful moves than the Mac trade. On his list of awful moves, that would be ranked down there about number 9, number 10. There's a lot of things he's done that have been awful.
Alex is in Shorewood on ESPN 1000. Hey, Alex.
Hey, man.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, truth is, these guys are going to be gone at the end of the season. What we need to do is let's put Tyler Bray in there. Like, you see what happened in Denver yesterday with Hinton. And the one thing you guys are forgetting, you guys aren't even talking about. You're not talking about Corona at all. I mean, that's what's all these whacked out things. The Ravens may not even play. They're going to play tomorrow in the afternoon, or who knows if they're going to play or not. That's the first thing. The second thing is, did you guys see the end of the Chargers?
Yes, I have no clue what they're doing. Yeah, and then that poor guy, listen, he's going to get – Anthony Lynn's going to get fired because the way he manages the end of the game.
Well, Patricia should be like, why don't I have a job?
Oh. I mean, that was unbelievable. Alex, thanks. Yurk, did you see the end of that?
I saw people complaining about it on Twitter.
Yurko, they don't have any timeouts left. They throw – there's got to be – the clock's ticking with 18 seconds, something like that. Justin Herbert throws a Hail Mary – even with his arm kinked, they're so far backed up, he can't get it to the end zone. But they come down with the play. The Chargers are at about like the 4-yard line, right?
Right.
The clock's ticking. They don't have a timeout, Yurko. They're down 10. They run up to the line and they run a handoff.
Yeah, no.
Yurko, it was like they don't have a timeout.
You're supposed to clock the ball there. Get a call in. That's a legitimate call, right? You clock it. Now you get a call in and you go for the end zone when you can.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
The Chargers were trailing by 10.
10. They were
it
down
was
10.
27-17 in the fourth quarter. They got the ball on the
play-by-play line.
They're 12.
The
drive started at their 12.
Oh, the drive started at their 12,
with
correct.
3.5 minutes to go.
3.5 minutes,
and they
that's
were trailing
right.
by 10, yeah. And they ended the game with a 13-play, 87-yard drive that ended at the Bills' 1-yard line.
Think about that, Yurko.
And they were trailing by 10.
Yeah, look, go back like 2 weeks ago. This happened in another game for them. They took over with like 3-something to go, and by the time it was all said and done, they had blown through their timeouts. You think the Bears are bad at clock management? Anthony Lynn doesn't know what's going on. I mean, it is a travesty. Like, it is a complete train wreck. The level of coaching sometimes in this league truly is stunning to me. And they've done it twice in like 3 weeks. The Chargers have so badly botched a late game situation. But even for the, even with that, you know what? If you're a Charger fan, you're toweling off over Justin Herbert.
Yeah, you're happy.
I wish I was a Charger fan right now, because at least I'd be excited about Justin Herbert and I wouldn't have to watch Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles play football. I wish. Yeah. When we come back next, one national analyst really went after the Bears again this morning. We'll play that for you and more of your phone calls coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Here is Rodgers with time. Oh, bunch of it. End zone shot. Adams goes up and gets it. Touchdown, Green Bay. First and goal for the Packers. We begin the second quarter. And Rodgers on the roll to the end zone. Mercedes Lewis. Touchdown, Green Bay. Deep drop here, looking downfield. Aggressive call and a shot into double coverage is intercepted. They tried to stay aggressive, tried to go deep, and Darnell Savage there for the interception. Jones, Rodgers backpedals, puts it up top. Touchdown, Green Bay.
That is so unbelievable, Mike.
Alan Lazard with a leap to no one. Now it's 3rd and 17. Another big rush from Gary. Trubisky lost the ball. It's scooped by Preston Smith, who takes it in for the Green Bay defensive touchdown. So he run, it gets dangerous. Trubisky fakes it and throws for the touchdown. Allen Robinson, good play design there. And the Bears get into the end zone for the first time here tonight. Wind gust comes through, 3rd and 11. Pack bringing 5. Trubisky taking it deep into a lot of coverage. It is intercepted.
Darnell Savage with the interception again. Rodgers flips his hips, flips it downfield. Wide open. Tight end. Touchdown. Packers. Straight ahead run. Williams powers. Spins. And scores. And celebrates.
Bears trying to make something happen. They're going to blitz Roquan Smith, but the line does a good job. They pick it up, trap blocking, and then this is just poor tackling. This is the Bears defense basically giving up here.
Yeah, we back. The nationwide.
Pretty sad. That's what you get from the Bears out of bye. Good work, Jarrett Strauss, with that montage. I mean, if it was a fight, they would have stopped it, right? I mean, seriously. Oh, yeah. The Nate Robinson thing for him the other night. I mean, just out cold on the canvas.
41-10.
It was over. They would have stopped the fight. Hey, at least the one good thing is they had the Iron Sheik tweeting about him all night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it, you know, that's something. He was
Chicago jabronis.
Chicago jabronis, yeah. He called them. Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers beat the blank out of you. Play like the dead mosquito. The Bears are no good, but the beers are always great. Chicago Bears, you bleeping suck. Chicago Bears, new name, Chicago Garbage Bags, Da Bears, Da Bronies. I mean, the Iron Sheik was all over him last night, Yerk.
The Chicago Bears should be lucky no fans are in those state. In
oh,
those
my God.
The Boo Birds would be out.
They'd be out already.
They would be out.
I think they're lucky stars that they don't have to have anybody in there this weekend against the Lions. You're right. Oh, and by the way, the Iron Sheik tweeted 2 minutes ago, today is the last day of the month to go bleep yourself. So he's a great follow on, I got to tell you, if you,
lot
you know,
of
the old Iron Sheik.
A lot of diversity of thought there. A lot of diversity of thought, Carm.
He's something, man.
Quite the wordsmith, too.
Here's Ryan Clark this morning, Yurko, on Get Up, talking about our beloved Bears.
The Chicago Bears hibernate in the den of hopelessness. And obviously, they aren't following protocol in Chicago, because whatever the offense had very early on in the year, the defense has now caught it. The defense is now testing positive for suck. And when you play against the Green Bay Packers and you allow Aaron Rodgers to do what he did last night offensively, to play a flawless game, to not get hit in the pocket, for Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to be able to run the football like that, you don't stand a chance. The reason we gave him a chance was we felt like if Mitchell Trubisky could create some things with his legs, if the offense could actually move the ball, we knew that this defense was good enough. Now they have nothing. Now the defense has given up. Now the offense is showing you, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter who the play caller is, they won't be able to create points in critical moments. And so if you're the Chicago Bears, you pack this season up and you figure out where this started and when you can end it. And you end it as fast as you can. You find a quarterback, you find a new head coach, and you move forward in 2021.
Pretty good rant by Ryan Clark there. A couple of funny lines.
Stop short, though.
Well,
he didn't say. He said new quarterback. He said new head coach. He needed to get the general manager out of there also, and find new ownership would even be better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he says.
I mean, that's truly the problem. We can sit here, Carm. We'll be back here again in 2-3 years. We'll be back in the same spot.
Until they find a quarterback. That's right.
Right. That's until they find new ownership, Carm. You keep saying quarterback. Well, I keep saying ownership.
I'm being more pragmatic, I guess, or more realistic. There's not the McCaskies are never going to sell the team. No. Again, this is their family business.
I understand, but I'm telling you the truth.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
The truth is nothing changes until they sell the team.
That could be.
And, I mean, that's happened before. The Weavers sold the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the guy just sold the Carolina Panthers. Jerry Richardson didn't want to give it to his sons. He hated his boys,
right.
Kicked them both out, and said, "I'm going to sell the team." How do you like those apples?
Yeah, he did.
You know, so did people sell their teams all the time?
Yeah, this is the also pressure the needs to be put upon years,
the Carm. I mean, the pressure needs to be put upon the McClatskys for the health of the greater Chicago metropolitan area and the greater suburban area to sell the team to somebody who is competent. Somebody that knows something about football.
Well, you could be right.
Otherwise, we're going to be going just in the circle again. We'll be right back where we're at.
Until they find that owner, until they find a quarterback, it is going to be more of the same. Yep. It's why they go to the playoffs so infrequently. It's because they've been searching for the better part of 50, 60 years for a reliable, dependable, world-class quarterback, and they just don't ever have them. Let's go to Jason in Arizona real quick on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Well,
thanks for calling.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, 36 years I've been cheering for these Bears, and I'm just calling in to kind of touch on something that I feel like all the experts and even you guys are missing, the two things that the Bears need.
Yeah, what are they?
Clown shoes and the big red noses.
All right.
Because we are the Barnum and Bailey Bears right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what they are. They're, like I said before, Jason, thanks. They're a punchline right now. That's it. 312-332-3776. We got a little bit more time for some of your Bears angst. Feel free on a Bears Monday with us, with Carmen and Yurko. Greeny's coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvia at 2, and then Black and Abdallah at 6 tonight. And the big thing today happening in all the Bears suckiness is that it is the start of the holiday parody song contest on the Waddle and Sylvie show. So it's always a great time of year around these parts when that fires up, and they'll give you details later. But it's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. This hour with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by Vasectomy Chicago. Visit vasectomychicago.com for more info about their 30-minute, no-needle, no-scalpel, in-office vasectomy. That's vasectomychicago.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Rodgers flips his hips, flips it downfield, wide open, tight end, touchdown, Packers. 39 yards to Robert Tonyan. Straight ahead run, William Powers spins and scores. And celebrates.
The Bears try to make something happen. They're going to blitz Roquan Smith, but the line does a good job. They pick it up, trap blocking, and then this is just poor tackling. This is the Bears' defense basically giving up here.
Tirico, Dungy, NBC last night. By the way, that first highlight in there, you heard the Robert Tonyan touchdown. I think Sylvie was making the point last night on Twitter, maybe on our text chain. He's got more touchdowns than Komet and Jimmy Graham combined. He's an undrafted guy, right? Isn't Tonyan undrafted?
Yeah, out of Indiana State.
Out of Indiana State. He's got seven touchdowns on the year, Yurk.
Yeah. In essence, he replaced Jimmy Graham. I saw that on a tweet earlier today. I don't know who put it out there, whether it was Adam Hogue or Weeder or somebody had thrown it out there. Then he, in essence, replaced Jimmy Graham.
And then did Jimmy Graham have seven touchdowns with the Packers? My guess is no.
I believe he may have, yes.
Two
That's
seasons.
That's the one thing he did do, yeah.
Two seasons with Green Bay, five total touchdowns.
Well, then he didn't have seven.
Tonyan's got more. Like you said, yeah. Yurko, he didn't have more.
He set you up, Yurk.
No, I would, but I, because I thought Jeez, Jimmy
I
Graham
like
only
I just
had
got
five. Clipped.
You think I just got Eric Williams right there.
No, stop
Jackie
it.
Jackie Slater right in the back of the knees, Carm. If you got the information in front of you, just
I didn't.
It out,
I was
friend.
Checking, knucklehead.
I'm messing with you, Carm. But boy, you're my guy. Boy. You'd never undermine me.
No.
I think you're number one in our book. I think the point is they got a tight end in there who's productive. At a great cost, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
At a great cost, which is why you can have a $35 million quarterback because you don't have $15 million tight ends.
I mean, Bears really spending $9 million on Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jimmy's been good in the red zone. It's the one thing he still can do. But 20-20, Jimmy Graham, you could forget about it. I mean,
he can't get away from anybody anymore. He's got to box people out. You know, that's just the way it is.
I mean, the all-buster screen, I mean, mod on. You talk about a rough year in coverage for your slot guy. I mean, geez. Teams see one-on-one, and they pick on him all day.
Oh, with Buster?
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, yeah. I tweeted something out yesterday about the Buster screens. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, that game plan was fine 24, throw directly at him.
That was pretty obvious.
At least there was a Robert Quinn sighting yesterday.
There was a Robert Quinn sighting. Like twice, actually. Yeah. I think I saw two Robert Quinn plays.
Yeah, I think the Buster was the leading tackler last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
everybody was catching the ball in front of him. He should have been.
Exactly. Here's Nagy talking about effort and the defense and what they can do more. Again, this was a little bit of a feisty Matt Nagy this morning on the Zoom call with reporters.
No, it's certainly not effort. It's not effort. And here's what I'll say. I can do this with our defense because they that's how they are. And they know how well they've been playing, you know, the last however many games. Like they know that. And they understand that yesterday isn't who we are. That's not our identity on defense. And so they're big boys. They can handle it. And they're at a point where they're going to agree with everything that I'm saying. This is nothing that they're disagreeing with. The other stuff, no. I mean, that's what I'm saying is do more of it. Right. So all these guys, they are studying, they're working hard, they're practicing. But the guys, if you're catching 10 balls of the jugs after practice, go catch 20. Right. if you're a guy that's watching, you know, 3 hours of video in one night, maybe watch four and get that extra hour in there. I think this is more about the extra than it is just about, because obviously right now we need to do a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, whether that's just getting your rest, if you're not getting enough sleep, then get more sleep. That's for everybody. So I'm not insinuating by any means that they're not doing it. I'm just saying do more.
All right. Good luck to you. Keep
3 and 4. Carm, if you don't know what you're looking at when you're looking at film, it doesn't matter if you look at 24 hours of film. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One of the first things that Greg Bosch taught me when he got me was he taught me the offense. He taught me what to look at on film. I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't fine-tuned by any stretch of the imagination. You got guys that look at film, and I was there. Watched guys up in Green Bay. They're looking at film. Their eyes are glazed over.
Yeah, they don't really
tired. They don't know what the hell they're looking at.
Right.
You know, if I get it and I say, okay, what are we running? The first thing you got to know is what you're running. Secondly, okay, what did they run? All right, let's go back and let's break it all down and see exactly how it happened. Is there anything we can get out of this? Are there any tendencies they have when they're in their stance? Is there anything we could look at with motion? You know, that would be a tip, would be some sort of cheat that we'd be able to take a look at and say, all right, if we see a combination of this, we might be able to not tell you what's coming, but maybe tell you certainly what's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to know what the hell you're looking at. You just can't look at film.
Well, in that soundbite, he referenced the jugs machine.
Right.
Like drops are not a huge problem. Yeah, right. Fine. Cole Kmet could have maybe hung on to that, and Allen Robinson could have made a catch. But ultimately, that's not the reason they lost the game yesterday.
Yeah, he's out of stuff, guys. He doesn't know. Go guys, practice on the jugs machine.
Every practice, I was looking for the jugs.
I'm sure you were, Yurko. Al's in Orland Park, the jugs machine. Al's in Orland Park on ESPN 1000.
Yes,
hey, buddy.
Sir,
what's up?
Greetings, gents. Hopefully you're healthy and safe. Real quickly, it's a foregone conclusion that Nagy and Pace are gone. My bigger concern, and Yurko, you're on spot on, is that we don't wish to have Ted Phillips hire the next GM. You need to have the Theo Epstein of football.
I don't know how you find that guy. You got to find that guy, though, I guess, Al. You're right. I mean, there's no reason Ted Phillips should have any say in what happens in the operations side of the building. None.
It's the Crane Kenny analogy. You remember?
Yes, correct.
Peter said, look, let Crane Kenny do the financials contracts. Let me take care of football operations. But look, there's Brian Billick, Ozzie Newsome type guys. They're out there, guys.
Yeah, so you got to find them, Al. That's been the hard part for the Bears. That's Yurko's point, that for whatever reason, nobody in the McCaskey side of things can seem to be able to do that. The Bears are going to build their own. You know, there's all this growing buzz that the Bears are going to finally build their own stadium, right? They're going to go take Arlington Park. They're going to buy that land. They're going to put it out there. That's Ted Phillips' job. Ted Phillips should not be picking the next GM. He should not be picking the next coach. He should have zero say in who the next coach is, who the next general manager is. Zero.
He should be put out to pasture.
Well, go get the stadium built. That's his job. That's what Ted's good at. Go get the stadium built. Maybe the charter franchise of the friggin' league should own its own stadium. Go figure. Do that.
I'd like to put him on an ice floe, Carm.
Well, he can do the job that he was originally set out to do within this organization. Make them money. Do the business, you know, handle the business side. Ted can do that. Go do it. Why Ted Phillips is interviewing Chris Ballard is beyond me.
I concur.
Or Bruce Arians or Mark Trestman or anybody else.
Why would John Schneider come to the Chicago Bears?
Oh.
I heard Cap mention his name.
I don't know.
John
Schneider,
general manager, working in conjunction with Pete Carroll in Seattle.
I don't know, York.
Why would he in a million years come to Chicago?
New challenge. I don't know.
He's a Wisconsin kid from West Appear. Green Bay has always been his team. So he's with Green Bay. He ended up going to Seattle when Ted Thompson was out there. Ended up going back to Seattle after he bounced around a little bit. He's been there for 10, 11 years now.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, he hired Carroll, didn't he?
Right.
So he's been at least 11 years.
Why would he want to go anywhere? If any, you got to find somebody under Schneider.
Yeah, fine, right.
That might be one of the guys that might be willing to move.
Fine.
You're not going to. There's nothing you're going to be able to offer any of those guys to want to come to Chicago. Chicago.
I don't know. Well, that's they are the Bears. I mean, I think there still is an allure to being the charter franchise. If you could be the guy that fixes
matters,
it,
that matters in Chicago. You know, you are the Bears. Matters in Chicago. Yeah, do you think that sells in West Appear?
well.
Maybe Wisconsin?
West Lapeer. All right, well, let's continue that conversation tomorrow. Where are they going to go to look for the... I love how we've already got them out the door. Who's the new GM? If we did not get to you today, I apologize. Waddle and Sylvie back in a couple hours. They'll have time for your phone calls, and we'll do it again tomorrow with everybody. Have a great day. Greenies next. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. They kick off the parody song contest today, so details on that coming up. And Black and Abdallah at 6. Thanks to Meller. Thanks to J.R. Strauss. Thanks to Merkin. And thanks for listening and calling today. For York, I'm Carmen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!